Hello, hello. Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here. We have a couple of announcements. First, we have prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and we do this over Zoom. So you can either join us through the Zoom, through our www.galescreekchurch.com, or you can, there's a phone number also that you could call and join us. And it's a great time to get to lift people up in prayer. Then we have the food pantry. And then on Wednesdays after the gleaners, they are open. So if anybody needs help, be sure and send them to the church on Wednesdays at 11 o'clock. And also on, they're starting this on Sundays from noon to 1 if anybody needs. So if you know somebody that needs help, needs food, be sure and send them this way. Also, we have had 5 families that we are helping give Thanksgiving dinner to, so that is a blessing. They've had, between the donations and stuff, they are going to have a full Thanksgiving meal, so that's a blessing. And then we have The Chosen. We'll do it again starting in January, so it'll be off for December, so we can just enjoy the holidays. If you missed any, it was on C-Dip. All right, and we did our shoeboxes, and today we're going to pray over our shoeboxes and send them off. They get sent off to, we'll find out where. So, if you would like, you could all stand up and go to the center aisle.
Has waited 5 years, 11 months, and 29.
Over the hills and everywhere.
All right, so we are so blessed. I didn't count them, but look at for our small little group that we have. But I think we are so blessed. And I have to say that Kim Bateman, a person in the community, even saw us because she watched us online. And she donated like 7 boxes just because she wanted to help participate. And she said she had so much fun doing it that she said, I'll be doing it next year for you guys. So praise the Lord. So let's pray over these boxes as we're going to be sending them out. It's such a blessing to know that they're going to go to foreign countries, and I think we've had a lot of disasters here, so they could even be going right here in the United States to people that need it. So, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. We praise you that we can serve you, that we can give these kids something that they don't get. And just, I pray for each box as they go to the different children. Father God, just bless that child. And then not only that child, but bless the family. And may they all come to know you through this box. It is an outreach that only you can bless. We know that you give so many blessings, Lord, that we are just praying for these boxes. We're praying for the children, and we're praying for the families that receive. You keep them safe, Lord. Get them to the right destination. And we know that you have a vision for each one of the children that gets these boxes. We thank you, Lord, for what you do. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, so let's stand, and we're going to go to our call to worship. And today it's 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Oh, amen. Father God, we are so thankful for you, Lord. We're thankful for this house that we can come and just praise your name. Be with us, Lord Jesus, and just may the songs that we sing be blessing to your ears, and may our may Teresa just share what you have put on her heart that is exactly what we need to hear. We thank you, Lord, for each and every blessing that you give us as we go into this Thanksgiving holiday. Thank you, Lord Jesus, in your precious name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to start with Come, Be Thankful People, Come. Thank you.
We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and he sends his will to be known. The rivet of pressing now sees from his resting. Praises to his name, he forgets.
It's just really neat to realize that. Just stop at night and count your many blessings. Yeah. Okay.
greatest thing in our life is knowing you.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to a time of prayer. So first of all, I want to lift Anna Marie up to you. I just pray for Marie to start getting her strength back. They're trying to make her get out of bed. She usually doesn't get out of bed except for 2 days that she showers. And she really needs to get some strength built back up. And Dan is still having a hard time walking. He's lost a lot in his legs, but he's just not very strong. So he's in his chair most of the time. So we just need prayer for both of them. And anybody else? Thank you, Ivan. And we will pray for your whole family. Yeah, she has Meniere's disease. And she has a hard time. Her ears are like always plugged and she gets dizzy, nauseated. She just has a really hard time. And she's been really struggling with it. They've given her different medications, but it doesn't sound like it's helping very much. Oh, bless her heart. We miss her too. We miss Vicky, so. Anything else? Anybody else have something they want to share? We're thankful to have Teresa back. We'll lift her still up in prayer, as I'm sure it's an adjustment just being having home, huh? So, and Josh. Yay! You are just an awesome helper. We just thank you and praise you for all you do, Josh. And then, I know, it's awesome to see some new people. We're glad they're there. Speaking of helping people all the time, Paul, we need to lift Paul and Carol Baker up to you. I haven't seen anything and I haven't heard from them, so I don't know how. Do you know anything, Debbie? Yeah, they found a mass in Paul's lung, so they were waiting to hear what the next procedure is going to be. So they just both need prayer. And Paul is just really not as strong as he used to be. And we need to keep Ted in mind. It's all of his. He's just a day-to-day thing, but we're thankful that he's here, and we just pray that even if he gains a half a pound a week, that's better than losing a half a pound a week. So we're just going to keep lifting him in prayer. Anything else? Kidney. I bet. Okay. We will play for Tara. Yes. I agree. Yes, I agree. And mm.
I had an old-time school friend I've connected with her from the time for years. And she called me. She calls and asks for prayer. We prayed one time for two little boys that were having such issues. Well, she called, and she has a friend. Her name is Kara. And she has been found to have breast cancer, and it's in stage four. So they were worried. She's really worried about her. So I said we would lift her up in prayer. Okay. Anything else? Anybody else? All right, let's go to the Lord. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. We praise you, Lord Jesus, and we just thank you for this time where we can just join in prayer, Lord, and just lift our needs up to you, knowing that you are the sovereign Lord. You are the Father of all of us, and you know and you have the power that no one else has. So we thank you, Lord, that we can come today. We thank you for this church, this building, that we can meet together and just praise and worship you. Father God, we have illnesses that are just hard, Lord. We have Ivan and his whole family, Lord, and we miss them. We miss the kids, but we also miss Ivan and Sarah, Lord. So we just lift them up to you. May they all just be healed. I just ask for healing touch on that whole household, Lord. And I know Landon had a double ear infection a few days ago, so apparently he shared with the rest of the family. So we just lift them all up to you to be well. Let them get lots of rest today and just take care of them. We lift Pastor Teresa up to you and the changes she's had in her life, Lord, and her family. We just lift the whole family up to you, Lord. Just bless them. Let them have fond memories and love, Lord. And we love her and just are so thankful that she's back with us today. We lift Paul and Carol up to you, Lord, as they're facing. They know that he has this cancer mass, Lord, and we just ask for you to guide the doctors and just help him to get better and for Carol to have strength to help take care of him in all of this. We also lift Ted up to you to have strength, Lord, and just help him to just get that appetite back. And we're just so thankful that he's here and he does what he can do, Lord. So we just give you praise for having him here. We lift Lori's friend Tara up to you on the loss of her husband. And it sounds like that is such a scary thing when she doesn't have a sole breadwinner anymore and she's lost her life support, Lord. So, Lord, we just ask that you just wrap your arms around her and take care of her, Lord, and just give her peace that only you can give as she goes through this trial. We also lift Tom's friend up to you that she has this precancerous polyps in her esophagus. And that's scary too. So we just give her over to you that you can heal it and make the precancer so it doesn't turn to cancer all gone, Lord. We're thankful for Josh and all he does, Lord, how he's helped with the food closet, how he's helping Mark and Sherry, Lord. He's just a blessing, and we just thank you for his willingness to help, and we just give you praise for him. And I also lift Kara up to you with her stage four breast cancer, Lord, and I know she isn't here. She lives in Texas, Lord, but she's still your child, so we just give her over to you and ask for comfort and healing as she goes through this. Again, we just lift Vicky up to you, Lord. I struggle with all of the, bless her heart, she's just really been fighting this Meniere's disease. So Lord, be with her ears, Lord. Just touch her ears and help her to feel better. And we thank you that she is a part of us and that we have the privilege of praying for her. So we just thank you, Lord, again for this church. We thank you for all of the blessings that you give us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
All right.
I'm going to have the kids come up, and we're going to pray for them, and they get to go to children's church. Come on up. Come on up. You want to come? No? You can go to children's church. It's a lot of fun. All right. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for these children. We just ask a special blessing on them as they go to their class. And just let you touch their hearts and let them grow closer to you. We just thank you for them, and we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you guys can go.
All right, praise the Lord. Yes, it's good to see everyone today. And we do have some special guests. I actually brought my family with me. We celebrated our mother's life last Friday. Not this previous Friday, but the Friday before. And so my brother, he's the oldest of four girls, follow behind him. So my brother, Pastor Roy Watson, he hails from Dallas, Texas, is with us. My sister, Dr. Diane Watson, is an educator, works at OES. She's 2 years younger than me, and so we look like twins. We're not twins, like you two are, but people confuse us as twins. And then the baby of the family is Renee Watson. She's a children's author. So, and Dr. Watson brought her two sons, Caleb and Nehemiah. What's up, Caleb? I think, did Nehemiah go to Children's Church? All right, awesome. I'm glad that he will be participating there. So again, thank you for your prayers, for your support, your love and kindness that you've extended to me and to my family. Praise God for you. So welcome to the house of the Lord. Those of you who are watching us on social media, God bless you this day. If you've been with us in the last quarter, you will recall we've been on a journey to rediscover who God is. We've studied some of his attributes, also known as his characteristics. Remember, attributes is just a fancy word for characteristics. Characteristics means, what is he like? What is God like? Who is he? And then the number one place to find out who God is and how he acts is to read the Holy Bible. And that's what we've been doing. We've been looking through the Bible, studying different passages of Scripture to see who God is. And so far, we've discussed God being infinite, remember? And then we did the three omnis. We had omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. And then we talked about faithful, how God is good, he is holy, he is loving. And then, of course, we did merciful and gracious. And so to close out our series today, we're going to focus on two additional attributes, God as righteous and just. So our scripture reading is found in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 3 and 4. I'm actually sharing differently because, you know, I like the New Living Translation. I'm a homie. That's my standard. But today I wanted to focus and use the New American Standard Bible, also known as NASB, because it uses both words there, righteous and just. So read with me Deuteronomy 32. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful passage? The writer is saying, look at the God that we serve. Ascribe to him his greatness. I think it was Sister Carolyn who brought it out, you know, or no, actually, Sister Judy, I think it was you. Sometimes we just forget the great God that we serve. We forget how good he is. So the writer is saying, sit down, pause. Ascribe to him what is due him. Say those things that are about God that we know. And what are those things? He is the rock. He is perfect. Why is he perfect? Because he is just and he is righteous. So, as we've said in the previous conversations, when we discover who God is and how he acts, we discover who we are in relationship to him and how he wants us to then act. And today is no different. The writer proclaims God is perfect. We are experiencing God, and the writer says that he has experienced God to be revealing himself to be faithful, consistently upright. Oftentimes we'll see righteous and just interchanged. And that's largely because they overlap. They resemble each other. And so, you know, I like words. So we're going to define the terms so no one can walk away confused. To be righteous or upright, as the scripture says, means to be acting in accord with divine or moral law. So people acknowledge there's divine law, the law that God has declared, and then we have a moral code as human beings. So when you are upright or righteous, you're doing one of the two things, or maybe both, acting in accordance with the divine law and with the moral law. It also says free from guilt or sin. That's to be righteous. And keep that in mind, because if God calls us righteous, we know that we are sinners. How can that be? We're going to talk about that later. Just is defined as this, and I just looked in the Common Dictionary. Merriam-Webster is my favorite, one of my favorites. It says, just is defined as this: acting or being in conformity with what is morally upright or good. So you see how they both they match each other, because just talks about being morally upright or good. The second definition it gives is being legally correct or lawful, right? And so a good example is, you'll hear lawyers say it's a just title to an estate, right? So when they say that, when they're using it in the legal term, just, they mean you have the lawful rights. You have the lawful rights to own this particular piece of property, be it a car or a house or whatever it is. So one of the Bible commenters says the difference between the two terms, between just and righteous, is the usage. Righteous is largely used in a religious context, and just being used in a legal context. And I thought about that at first. I thought, yeah, actually, I guess that's true. But then I thought, well, actually, God began the first laws. So God is the God of our laws, right? He didn't just do things. He actually created laws. So it all began with him. So whether we're thinking religiously or morally or even legally among human beings, it all belongs to God. He created laws. And when he formed humans in his image and breathed life into them, he immediately shared his expectations, and that is what we call God's laws. His expectations of how human beings are supposed to act and be. So you remember what he told Adam and Eve in the garden, right? He says, you can eat out of all of these things, just not that one, right? That was the first law, right out the gate. This is how I expect you to be and to do. And there were other things that he mentioned to them. But he began the law. And then you see God declaring later more laws for his people as the Israelites come out of Egypt, right? So after they've gotten out, he says, look, this is how I need you to be. This is what I need you to be doing, because you are an example for the rest of the world. We talked about this before, that because God is holy, he expects us to be holy because he created us to be like him. So it is with his righteousness and just ways that he's expecting us to do the same and be the same. He is expecting us to follow in his steps and live according to his divine law and to live without sin. So let's look at some of the scriptures that testify to God's righteousness. We read one of them, but there are others. And it speaks about his just ways. And I'm using most of these, actually I think all of these right here in this section, are from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet to Israel. And his job, which is why you're going to find a lot of these verses about God's righteousness and him being a just God, because Isaiah is trying to teach the people, he's preaching to them, this is what God is demanding of us. He has specifically chosen us to save the rest of the world. And so this is how he wants us to act and be. So the first section, Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, verse 19 says this, "The Lord says this of himself." So this is God talking. "I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right." Just a simple sentence. I declare what is right. So what does that mean to us? So it's not your mother. It's not your grandmama. It's not your great-great-grandfather or your boss or the neighbor, those people who in your life who think they know everything. No, it's not them. They don't get to declare what is right. When you are challenged in your life and you're sitting and you're puzzled and you're thinking, Sister Debbie, what in the world? I don't know. Go to the Bible. What does God say about this topic? Because my neighbor is loud and in my ear, but your neighbor may not be right. God himself has said, "I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right." Isaiah 51, verses 4 and 5. Isaiah 51. Listen to this. "Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. Instruction will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm." What is God saying to the people here? Well, God is speaking twofold. He's speaking about saving, literally, the people of Israel, because they had a lot, if you study, follow their story, they had a lot of enemies along the way. So they're always looking to God to come and save them like the Egyptians. Get us out of these people's hands. They're heathens. They don't even believe in you. So they had others like them along the way. So they were looking to him to save them with his mighty arm, bringing justice. But God is also speaking twofold, because he's saying, oh, yes, you're thinking right here, right now, today. But I'm thinking future. Because remember, we talked about this before. God had a plan before he even created us. He had a plan of salvation. So he's speaking out into the decades to come that with his strong arm, he is going to save the nations through his son, Jesus Christ. So he's speaking of the ultimate judgment and his plan of salvation for all of humanity, not just Israel specifically, but also including them. Another chapter in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 30, Isaiah 30, verse 18. "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion." Why? "For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him." So he says to the people, if you but just wait for me, I will bring justice, because he is the God of justice. Isaiah 61, Isaiah 61, verse 8. This is the last one out of Isaiah, I believe. "For I, the Lord, love justice." Listen to what he does here. He says, I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. So God again speaks about how he loves justice. And if he's saying that, he's saying to the people, I invite you to join me in the work of justice. Because I hate robbery. I hate wrongdoing. Look around you in this world. There's a lot of robbery going on. There's a lot of wrongdoing. And if we follow God and what he's saying, we want to be like him, we are going to seek justice. So we must love justice because God loves justice. We are expected to fight for justice for other human beings, not just for ourselves. Now here's a list of scriptures that promise blessings for those who emulate God and follow his example. Remember, all along as we've been rediscovering who God is, we're reminded that because we're created in his image, he's inviting us to act just like him. And so he speaks in his word, guess what? I've got gifts for you. I have blessings for you if you follow my example and live out what I've designed you to be and to do. So when we come to Psalm 106, we see a blessing right there. Psalm 106, verse 3. And here it reads, blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. Look at that right there. Black and white. And if you have a red letter Bible, it's still going to be black and white because these aren't words of Jesus. It's still black and white. Blessed are those who keep justice. He who does righteousness at all times. And so you might think to yourself, how can you do something at all times? Well, God is saying not every single minute of every single day, because that's impossible as human beings. But what he's trying to get us to see is that we need to be practicing justice regularly. And I will tell you, practicing justice can become hard and difficult and challenging. And so we might get tired. But that does not mean that we can rest on our laurels and go, I'm done. I'm walking away from this. Practice it at all times. You can say to God, you know what, God, I'm tired. These people is worrying me. But nevertheless, I'm going to keep going because I know that your spirit is with me to protect me, to guide me. And so we practice justice regularly. We practice walking upright before the God, before a holy and righteous God regularly, not only when it's convenient. That's Sunday saints. We come to church, we greet each other. Hey, how you doing, Sister Donna? Okay. And then you go your way for the rest of the week, not thinking about God at all. That's not who God wants us to be. Proverbs 29, verse 7 says this. The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked, check this out, have no such concern. I know, Proverbs, who knew was in there? The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. Now, when you read the book of Psalms and Proverbs specifically, it's a beautiful, those are beautiful books. When you read them in their original language, when you see the calligraphy of Hebrew, it's beautiful, but also just the poetry that's happening. But you don't have to read it in its original language in order to understand what God is saying here. We in English, the poetry still shines through, and you see something that they're using here. They're using what we call compare and contrast. You take one item and you compare it to the next. It happens to be the opposite. And so what's happening here? the righteous, those who follow God, do this. But the wicked, those who think they know God and claim to know God or don't believe in God at all, are over here on the other side doing the opposite. The righteous care about justice. If you follow God, you are going to care about the human beings on this planet. You're going to care how we take care of this planet. Why? Because God created human beings to have dominion over it. Dominion doesn't mean just rule. It means to actually take care of. Just like parents, you take care of your children. Right? They're not there for you to abuse. They're there for you to care for, train, instruct, help them grow. And in the garden, God, that's another one of his laws. He said to Adam and Eve, this is for you. You need to take care of this. So if we follow God, we care about justice. We are not like the non-believers who only think of themselves. And that's why the world is full, again, of what the previous scripture said, robbery and wrongdoing. Those are the people who only care about themselves. So this is what's happening in this verse. It's a compare and contrast. Now, one of the things I thought about when I read this verse is also how sports fascinate to me. Because when I watch people watching sports, it's very fascinating. They get all excited. They're yelling. They're clapping. They jump up and down for their team. Or they yell at the coach and they become, you know, sideline coaches, even though they've probably never played football or basketball or hockey or any of those things. But all of a sudden, you become the expert in all of those things, tennis included, you know, all of it. And you're yelling and you're screaming and you're all excited and you're invested in this. You don't even get paid to be invested, but nonetheless, you are. Wouldn't it be something if we use that amount of energy to care for our neighbor across the street? To care for those people who are homeless, to try to get muster up together, to figure out how do we help those who are less fortunate than us, like the boxes that we have today, not just once a year, but every day of the year, throughout the year. Wouldn't it be fascinating if we could get excited about that and figure out how to handle these types of things? Because those are the things that God wants us to be excited about and get passionate about. It's okay to like sports. But can you use that enthusiasm to care about the human beings around you? We don't have to know everybody's names in order to be a blessing to them. Nowhere in the scripture does it say you need to know everybody's name in order to pray for them. You're going to be hard-pressed to find that scripture. But what you will find in the scripture is pray always, continuously. And then it gives you things to be praying for. This is fascinating when I saw that verse. The righteous care about justice. But those who don't care about God, not so much. Let's be on the other side. Followers of God, righteous and just. Oh, I made a mistake. I do have another Isaiah verse. Isaiah chapter 33, verses 15 through 17. Again, the prophet illustrates what living just looks like. And then he attaches it to blessings. He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands, refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure. The land of the majestic king. Your eyes will see the king in his beauty. They will see the land that is very far off. So the prophet says to Israel, if you follow this righteous God, if you follow in his footsteps and act like you are righteous and seek justice, these are the things that you will find. You will live on high. Bread will be given to you. So he's talking about provision. Water will be there for you. Those things that you need will be taken care of. And not only that, you will see the king and live in his kingdom. It's far off right now. You can't see it. But it's coming if you continue to follow God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 makes another promise. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, if you have a red letter Bible, that's probably in red, because those are words from Jesus himself. He's preaching that day, right? And he says to his disciples and to the crowds who came to listen that day that God will provide what all of his followers need. So just prior to verse 33 is verses 31 and 32. And this is what he says. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. Those who don't even believe in God, they worry about those things. So Jesus says to them, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So rather than focus on all those things that you need, focus on seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you follow God as he's walking upright, you're going to be right in line with him, Sister Margaret. You're going to be right in line with him. And guess what? All the things that you need, that you worry about, Lord, how am I going to pay this light bill? What about my kids going to school? And what about this? And what about that? He's going to take care of that. Stop focusing on those things and focus on building the kingdom and living a righteous life. Psalm 37, verses 27 through 29. Read this. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. Wrongdoers, on the other hand, will be completely destroyed. The offspring of the wicked will perish. Verse 29. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Now, I have to do a whole different sermon on the land and what that means, because when God is talking about the promised land for Israel, again, short term, they're thinking a place for them to be safe and have their own home and not be bothered by all of the enemies around them. But God, again, thinking long term. It's not just about you, Israel. It's about anyone who follows me. You will live in the land of God forever. So this is what God is asking of us. This all sounds fine and dandy when we talk about how great God is, because he is the standard for that which is right and for that which is just. The challenge comes, however, when we talk about us living without sin and upholding human laws, let alone God's laws, right? This is where the challenge is, right, Jeremy? This is where the rubber hits the road, so to speak. How do we do this? How do we do this? We are imperfect people, and it's impossible for us to not sin and to not break any rule or any law at all the times. Even when we have these wonderful things to motivate us. Remember the list? So go back to the scriptures. What's the list of things that God says? Well, you're going to be blessed. if you seek righteousness. You're going to dwell in high places. You're going to have provision, food, and water, and you will live in heaven with God eternally. And going back to Jesus' sermon, those physical things that you need will also be taken care of. But it's hard still, even when we know we have the promises of God, to walk upright at all times. It's a challenge because we're human and we may make mistakes. We may fall. Pastor Bo Williams, he's a pastor of Calvary Baptist Church. He says this, I quote him directly, that God is just is something that each of us in part embraces. There is a part of us that desires justice to be met impartially and truly. We want to see the wicked give an accounting for their wrongs, like Israel, right? Take care of my enemies, God. It seems right that those taking advantage of the weak and the innocent should pay. Yet, if we are not careful, we may live in the belief that God's justice is for somebody else and miss the truth that we are equally measured by God's justice. Paul tells us in the book of Romans, and he goes on to quote Romans 3, verses 10 through 12, and I'll read those to you. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together, they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Now, see, some of y'all already told y'all, you ain't worth two dead flies. My brother laughed at me the other day when I said that. You ain't worth two dead flies. That's what the scripture is basically saying. But it's not just you. It's everybody. Everybody. Nobody's worth two dead flies. Why? Because we're, by sin, it's in our nature. That's how we roll. This is how we are. And so, but once we get to know God and once we go to church, you know, we think, oh, it's not us. It's those people over there. They're the bad people. So God's going to get them. But the scripture, if you read it carefully, you realize that God's justice isn't just for those people over there. It's actually for us right here. Those who actually name the name of God and follow Jesus Christ. So as Pastor Bo is pointing out, if we understand the ramifications of God's righteousness, we understand that no matter how good we are, how much right we do, how many boxes you've donated today, we cannot measure up to God's standard of righteousness and justice. We just cannot. God's justice isn't only for the people in our lives, the people around the globe. It includes us too. Now, there might be someone who's thinking, yeah, but if God's so gracious and loving, because we talked about those attributes of his, why does he bother to condemn people to begin with? Why can't he just take us all to heaven? Well, it's a great question. But that just brings us back to our opening statement. God is just and righteous. He is the standard and expects us, who he created to be like him, to live in accordance with his values. Being a just God, he cannot go against who he is. He's not going to allow sinful people to have eternal life and reap the reward as if they've been walking upright all along. Can't do that, because that's not being just. If we're going to talk legally, there's a penalty to pay when you don't act right. So justice means ensuring the moral code is followed. And when it's not, a penalty must be paid. So that just God knew what he was doing, though. Remember? He always had a plan. But we also need to note that when God created us in his image, he did not intend for us to be robots or mindless beings. He gave us the gift of choice. So you'll hear theologians sometimes talk about free will. That's our human ability to choose what we want to do. And this is why throughout the Bible, we read time and again, God using preachers, using prophets, the judges, to encourage people to choose God's way over their own. Because God's way leads to eternal life with Him. Living our own way leads to living eternally without God. And that's ugly, horrible. We don't want that. Now, we might get discouraged because you're listening to this. Well, we're imperfect. We can't always do what's right. But God is up here. No matter what I do, I may as well just throw in the towel now and just quit because it's impossible. No way. Thank you, Brother Fred. No way. Don't throw in the towel. I agree that if we continue to read God's word, that yes, you're going to see we're not as good as we want to be or even as good as we think we are. But as Brother Fred yelled out, you have to keep reading because God hasn't left us to our own devices. He doesn't expect us to save ourselves. And that's why Brother Fred yelled out, no way. God already knew this was going to happen, so he made a plan. And that's where Jesus, God's Messiah, comes in. God promised Adam and Eve way back in the book of Genesis that there would come someone who would conquer the evil one. God deems us righteous when we believe Jesus is his son and when we choose to live our lives reflecting our restored relationship with God through Christ Jesus. So thank you, Brother Fred, for reminding us. No way. God didn't leave us to ourselves. Thank goodness. He did not leave us on a lurch by ourselves to our own devices. He already knew before he created us, they're going to mess up. I gave them free will. They get to choose what they want to do. So I can't just expect them to choose right all the time. So he made a way through his son, Jesus Christ. See, the penalty for our sinful nature is eternal death, separation from God forever. But God is not only just and righteous. He is merciful. He is gracious. And that's why he sacrificed his son, having Jesus take on our sin and pay the price with his own life. 1 Peter 2, verse 24 teaches us this. Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Live to righteousness. So it is through Jesus Christ that we have become righteous like God. And so, yes, we're going to make mistakes, but we're just going to get right back up and keep marching and following Jesus and following God through his Holy Spirit who empowers us because Jesus paid the price. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says this, because it reminds us that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John chapter 1. But Paul writes in his first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says this, and because of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, and sanctification and redemption. Look at all the work that Jesus did. We get wisdom from him because he's the living word of God. He revealed that I am God's long-term plan. I'm here. I'm that salvation. And not only am I that salvation, but I am righteousness for you, sanctification and redemption. So why does God forgive us? Because the penalty of sin has been paid. We are now justified and made right because of the work of Jesus. Our righteousness, our righteous and our just God, proves himself to us over and again through his plan of salvation. Amen? So the takeaways from today and from this series, you have a question like, okay, so what are we supposed to learn from all of this? These are the things that I have to offer. It's my prayer that we've learned a little bit more about God, who he is, and what he's like. Because we know God is infinite, remember, no beginning, no end. He's so big, we can't comprehend him. Comprehend means to grasp with your hand. You can't hold God in your hand, but God is holding us in his. Amen? He is infinite. He is omnipotent. He has all power. He is omniscient. He knows everything. Even if your bestest friend doesn't know, God does. And he cares. Not only is he omniscient, knowing everything, but he's also omnipresent. He is with us all the time. And we must remember that in our darkest days, our darkest hours, when we are feeling sorrowful, when we are overburdened, when we're happy and everything is going splendidly, God is with us. He is faithful. He is good. He is holy. He is loving. He is merciful and gracious. Remember, mercy and grace go together like peanut butter and jelly. He is also righteous and just. Because we know all of those things about God, we can better rely on him to be all of those things and to show up in our lives daily in all of those ways. Don't forget that God is there, Jeremy. God cares. Secondly, because we've rediscovered who God is, we have a better understanding now of who God has created us to be. This journey over the last couple months hopefully inspired you to recommit yourself to being more like God, because we have access to his righteousness through Jesus Christ. And we are empowered by his Holy Spirit to live God-honoring lives. And lastly, this. Remember that no matter what's happening in our lives, the good and the bad, God has always had a plan of salvation for each of us. Salvation isn't just for those people over there, for those really good people, for the family members that you have in your mind that, oh yes, they're so good, and you esteem them highly. Salvation just isn't for them. It's for you as well. Before we were born, God made a way for us to be in right relationship with him, and that is through Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you again for those who are able to join us through social media. Thank you for modern technology that we can do this, that your word gets to be spread all throughout this nation and this world. We pray now that the word that we've heard, the things that we've discussed, will be in our lives. Let those seeds that you've planted in us, those reminders, grow. We invite your Holy Spirit, God, to come. Take reign in our hearts and in our minds, that we may be righteous, that we may be just, that we may be loving and kind and merciful to the people around us. Because that's what you called us to be. That's who you designed us to be. And we thank you for that promise of eternal life, that one day when all of this is over, we will be with you in that holy promised land. Thank you, God. We pray it for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. All right, I believe we have a closing song, and then I'll come back up to dismiss us.
Saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for standing as we close out today's service. Remember that God is always with you. So even when you leave this place, you are still with God. He is with you through His Holy Spirit. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for this glorious day. Thank you for the opportunity to gather with fellow believers to praise your holy name, to learn about you, to give our testimonies of how great you are in our lives. I pray now for each one, from the youngest to the oldest, that you would be with us. Continue to provide us with your grace as we travel to various places. Be with us and help us to let our light shine this week. There's people you've placed in our lives who need to know who you are. They need to witness of how great you are. And we thank you, God, for it. Thank you for using us. Thank you for the ministry of reconciliation that you've passed on to us through Christ Jesus. So go, my dear brothers and my sisters, in God's grace and His mercy and His peace. Until we meet again, God bless you. God keep you.